Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
MLB winter meeting, certainly the premier off-season event.
Oh, yeah.
You never know how much activity is actually going on, but it's not just the media stuff and the rumors and the trades and the signings, but it's also like the biggest off-season hiring event. People go, bring resumes, job interviews to fill positions in organizations. There's a lot more that goes on that we don't report on, really.
We saw a lot of that when we were there. Walking through the lobby, dressed to the nines with their little folios under their arm, just dishing out resumes and CVs, as we used to call them in the biz.
Who knows?
I think somebody dropped off a resume
to
with
us.
John Boy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Jake and John Boy were with us.
With
and
us.
Like, hey, by the way, if you could just take a look at this.
Yeah, man. Shoot your shot, I guess.
And I don't know how many coaches are out of a job and might be approaching our next guest going, hey, if you have an opening here, and they just announced their staffs. So I don't think they have any big league openings, but you never know when you might need someone in the future. Joined right now by the manager of the San Diego Padres, Mike Schilt, is back with us here live from the winter meetings in Dallas. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing well. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays
to you. So what do you do? I know there's some media obligations, but what do you generally do as a manager during baseball's winter meetings?
It's a little bit of a lighter lift for the managers, at least for me, historically. And, this is way more of a front office opportunity. These guys they're cranking it out. I get to be in the room and have the privilege of watching how AJ and his group works. But, for me, it's interviews like this. I've got some national stuff later, and then I'm going to be networked tomorrow. And we will have a manager's meetings with all the 30 managers and the commissioner's office for an hour on Wednesday. There's an affiliate dinner, which is tomorrow night. But otherwise, for me, it's not a lot of heavy lifting, more being in the room and, being available to share my thoughts on the club. But, it's a little bit more just media responsibility for me.
Well, hopefully, Skip, at that manager's meeting, they're not pitching you guys on the golden batter, because that was that was one that we had some fun with last week. And it begs the question. Because they've done some stuff every year. You got to get used to some new rule changes, and we've talked about it with you a bunch. And every year it seems there's a new thing. Now, this one didn't get much It didn't get much traction after people kind of ripped it. But I was sitting there thinking, if I'm Shilty, do you just go with the hot hand? Like, if it's the Dodgers, you go with Ohtani. But if it's Shilty, you're like, man, he's swinging it good. Tatis is actually swinging it good. Crony's locked in, whatever. That would be a tough decision for you.
It would. You know, I spent a lot of energy on it because I don't think it's going to come close to fruition. But I did think about it. I'm like, okay, that's an interesting concept. And and I thought about it, you know, you got a real chance to, I mean, for me, it would be clearly like, you know, matchup related,
yeah.
Righty lefty, you know, a little bit of history coupled with a little bit of, hey, this guy's ball moves this way. This guy's swing path is, you know, suited for this guy. That's kind of, that would be how I would approach it. But I got to tell you, man, you got to look at, you hit Manny. Great. You got Manny Machado hitting. That's fantastic. That's a win. Then you look over, there's Toddy. There's Louie. Okay. There's Bogey. There's Crony. Like,
how are they feeling?
Me? Like,
yeah, how are they feeling?
Yeah, right. So it's I think the concept is interesting to float out, but not very applicable, thankfully.
Just another opportunity for managers to make everybody mad at them.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Sounds like a nightmare, well, actually.
And the fans, too. You know, yeah, imagine.
Fans,
how do you go with
players?
Right.
Everybody's going to hate you. You just have to make this.
Yeah.
I didn't make the rule up. They're making me use this. Now, speaking of your speaking of your coaches, I know it was really important to you to get your staff back, and that was announced on Friday, that everyone pretty much returning largely intact in the same roles. I did notice that Brian Esposito is now officially the bench coach. Does that change anything, or are you kind of operating everything pretty much just as it was last season, or do you have some small tweaks that you kind of have in mind?
I think, first of all, good for Espo. He's kind of elevated to a job that effectively was taking the lion's share of that, you know, traditional role anyway. Just more of an official. You know, relative to the, you know, there's always going to be some tweaks. The good news is, couple things. Big picture, we have our staff back. It's a really, really, really good staff. A lot of really good baseball guys connected well with our players, you know, did just a tremendous job. So having the group back and moving forward together and creating that continuity and synergy with our players is only a benefit that I'm really excited about on a lot of levels. And a bunch of good guys too that I really just enjoy, appreciate, you know, doing this journey with. Yeah, some tweaks. I mean, you're always going to look up and go, okay, we did our, you know, internal review of the season. Let's talk about what we could do a little different, a little better, how we could use our resources, how we could be more efficient, what these processes look like. So we've been in the process of, you know, going through, okay, our pregame stuff, our meetings, our, you know, review process, our preparation. And we're still going through it quite candidly, but we good news is you used a great word in tweaks. We're just tweaking it and modifying it a little bit, but there's not an overhaul to any of it. It's just a looking at a way to get it a little better.
Talking to the skipper, Mike Schild, here on Ben and Woods this morning. And I, you know, just personally, Skip, after getting to interview him a bunch, talk to him a bunch, catch up with him in the clubhouse a bunch, I was pretty bummed to see Higgy go to the Rangers. I certainly understand it for him. Would never deny somebody getting an opportunity to make some money, you know, and go to an organization with good people in it as well. But for you, what could you say about Kyle Higashioka? And then conversely, like, what are your plans right now for the catching position? I know it's early.
Yeah, we're going to miss Higgy. I mean, listen, as a guy that, I mean, you know, we all know it. He moved our needle, right? He was a part of our fabric that helped us win games, that, you know, took the division down to the wire and then allowed us to go into the playoffs and be productive. And he was a big part of that. And, you know, in talking to him, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, we're creating and still have a really family oriented, you know, clubhouse and group along with the staff. You know, this is a very tight group that's, you know, that's continuing to get closer and tighter. But sometimes you got to be reminded that this is as familiar as you want to continue to make this, and we are, and how important that is to our success, which it is. Sometimes the reality of the business slaps you in the face. And, you know, that happened in Higgy's case. I mean, you know, listen, can't fault him at all. You know, he's the guy that's been in the league for a while and worked hard to get the big leagues, took him a while to get there. And, you know, he's getting a, you know, real bite at the apple. And, you know, that's a big part of what, you know, I want to help these guys be able to do is, you know, two things: win games and make sure they can have success so they can take care of their families, because their windows are small, in their careers. And so, you know, you look up and a guy's 34 years old and he gets a chance to make some real life changing, altering money. And, you know, he begrudgingly, I say that for him. That might not be fair, but in conversations with him, and, you know, I know how much he enjoyed the clubhouse and San Diego and the fans and just Petco and everything that comes with being a Padre. But he made a decision that he needed to make that we respect for his family.
And I know, you know, talking to people in your organization, how high everybody is on Ethan Salas, but still very young. You got a chance to see him a little bit in the minors, I think, in 2023, and then spring training again last year. What are your thoughts on that young kid, and like how fast can a catcher really develop given the immense responsibilities that they face on the major league level?
Yeah, we got a limited exposure with Ethan. Clearly, what comes to me about Ethan, his skill set's clear. He's got real ability. That's obvious. The maturity with him is what really is impressive to me. That he's just really grounded, really mature. He's one of these young people, and again, he's 18 years old. And sometimes I'm in the room and I'm talking to him like, hey, who's the adult here? Just to get a real mature way about him. But that being said, you know, time frame, it's hard to say. I haven't seen him enough to really weigh in on that. I know our club has got an opinion about it, and I trust them. To your point also, though, is, you know, it's a different position. You know, it's a different and, you know, we really ask a lot, rightfully so. The game asks a lot for the catching position. And so, you know, his talent is going to get him there pretty quickly. I'm from all reports, you know, now it's a matter of the nuances and the things that we want that are required in a position to keep us in a position where we're competing, you know, at the highest level in our industry.
Talking to Mike Schilt here on Ben and Woods this morning, and I know, you know, you I liked your appearance that you did last week with AJ Pierzynski and those guys, and we played some of that audio the next day. And talking about AJ Preller and the things he's got up his sleeves, so to speak, and
where else?
No. And let's see, up his sleeves, down his legs,
both sleeves,
down
both
his sleeves, pants, down his pants. He's got tricks everywhere. But I know, listen, I think, you know, every GM out there, they're looking for arms, they're looking for guys that can round out the bullpen. For you as the skipper, you know, Christmas is coming up. You can ask AJ Preller for a couple of things. What are you looking for when you look at your team as it stands today? And I know it's not even close to being done, but what are you looking for as the skipper?
Yeah, you know, you just want to, and again, AJ, I trust him. So, it's, you know, I don't really spend a lot of time thinking about it, quite candidly. I mean, I think about our team. We're spending a lot of time with our staff and our players, clearly allowing them to enjoy the off season, but also making sure that we have, you know, real synergy with our group, you know, to have a winning off season, which I feel like we're in a really good position with all our guys and they're bought in. And I say all that really is not a way to escape the answer, but, you know, just where my attention's focused on. And, you know, clearly we have some areas that we'd like to shore the club up. You know, from my seat, you know, what you really want and what you want and what you get aren't entirely the same thing sometimes. And that's, you know, that's not my job. My job is to manage the club. But, you know, we have a really good nucleus. We've built a lot of really positive things that we feel we know are confident and sustainable. We know the club's never going to look the exact same from the previous year. We've got a really good core. And the only thing you can ask for, and this is, you know, from AJ ownership, is just to be able to, you know, build on it. You know, and that's it. So there's no specific wish list. I mean, I think we know you always want pitching. You know, we have a free agent that we like in the outfield. We'll see how that goes. And, you know, we can just go from there. But, yeah, you always want the pitching and, you know, you always want the bat.
Talking to Mike Schilt, he's at the MLB Winter Meetings in Dallas. And, Mike, when you see Juan Soto to the Mets for $765 million, what's your reaction? Is it more on the long lines of, wow, our sport is so healthy that we can, you know, pay these guys this much money? Or is like, that's crazy, the big markets keep getting rich, and this is going to be difficult to manage and sustain? What's your reaction to something like that?
initially was like, wow.
I mean, us too.
I mean, and you know, good for Juan. I mean, I the manager sits in a precarious position because, you know, clearly he's an extension of ownership in the front office. But also, you know, for my seat, you know, I'm a players guy. So I got in this to serve players because without the players, you know, we don't have jobs. And without the owners, we don't have them either. But anyway, you know, you look up and you say, good for the player. You know, he works hard. He's going to get what he can get to utilize his, you know, abilities that he's worked so hard to hone. But that is one massive number. And you just realize, but you look up and you start to look and you go, what is this relative to other industries? And it's not as big a number anymore. And then you look up and you go, I think this is a reference point that I've used in the past. I don't know how much, but in her heyday, this is even 18 years ago. Look up what Judge Judy was making in a year.
That's fair. Yeah. My wife, who watches her every day, has reminded me of that she made an ungodly amount of money every single year for that show.
This was like 7-8 years ago. I looked it up because that same deal is always like to start people. You know, it's like $47 million a year.
It's fair. Yeah.
She can't throw or hit a curveball or slider.
As far as we know. I mean, as far as we know, but yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We don't know. I don't want to sell Miss Judge Judy short. But my point being is, you know, you look in the entertainment industry and you look at all these different areas that do make money off the talent. And you look at Juan's deal and it's still, you know, somewhat reasonable. But you look at big picture and $765 million, that's a big price for a bat.
It is entertainment, after all.
It is.
It's a really good comparison, actually. Well, Mike, we'll appreciate it. We'll let you get back to your, as you said, ancillary responsibilities for the next couple of days. But we'll be following it closely, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again either at or before spring training.
Look forward to it, guys. You take care of it. I'll talk to you. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Schiltz.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to Mike Schiltz. And again, we will, if anything happens, obviously we'll have updates from there at the winter meetings. And
need something. I'll tell you right now. I mean, I'm to the point now where it's like, you got to give me something. It's like in the next 24 hours, I need something that makes me go, yes.
That is such a fascinating comparison, though, because we think of sports and we think of entertainment. But sports is 100%. It's entertainment. It's a different form of it. Instead of an actor, you're an athlete, but, you know, you're paid. The money you're making is because you're on television and people pay tickets to see you, just like Taylor Swift at a concert. People are going to pay to see you, and you're reaping the money. So why shouldn't they make just as much as big-time actors and musicians? And if that's what the best in their industry are making, then that's what the best in the entertainment industry are making. And Juan Soto is undoubtedly one of the top performers in his, you know, section of the entertainment industry.
100%. Yeah, you hear what people make on movies and stuff. You're like, wow, holy crap. That's a few months, you know, work making $40, $50 million a picture because, well, people go out and spend the money and go see the picture. But I've never begrudged a player. I think it's an overpay for Juan Soto. But I also know that Steve Cohen really wanted Juan Soto. And I also know that Steve Cohen, who's worth $21 billion, can handle it. No deferrals either. Just paying it out. Crazy.
It's the thing. You say it's an overpay. It's not an overpay if you can afford it.
If you can afford it, it's not an overpay.
It would be an overpay for the Padres.
I'm with you 100%.
It's not an overpay for Steve Cohen.
I agree. Mets. That's actually a really good point to make.
The part that sticks in my craw is it makes the Ohtani deal look like an absolute steal.
I know. I know. It really does. For a guy that pitches and hits, yep, and it's 60 homers or whatever.
And owns an entire country. Japanese market as well.
Yeah.
Ohtani much more valuable in terms of revenue generating, I think, than Juan Soto. Now,
yeah, nothing against Juan, but yeah, holy cow.
If the Mets win a couple of World Series in the next, you know, 5 or 6 years with Juan Soto, they'll be very happy with this deal.
Are you guys with me, though, that, like, you need something that comes out for the Padres that moves the needle in the next couple? Even if it's Anthony Santander, I don't care.
I need a major league contract.
I need something.
Minor league. That would be huge.
Santander would be sick.
That would be huge. I'm not expecting anything that big. If something big happens, it's a trade.
It's a trade.
I would think. Not a free agent sign. Yeah, but I would not be shocked if there's a big trade because it's AJ Preller.
I need something.
All right, we'll come back. We got some tickets to James Taylor to give away.
I feel left out. For the first time in a while, as a Padres fan, I feel left out of the mix.
This is what other teams felt like when Peter Seidler kept coming over the top and taking all the big free agents.
I don't like it. I don't like this feeling.
Shoes back on the other foot again.
I don't like this feeling.
With Ben and Woods back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. It's better
over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Seems like we're going to hear a lot of Garrett Crochet trade talk the next couple of days. Whether it's
Dodger.
Don't think he's going to the Padres.
No.
It just seems clear that Padres would have to part with Ethan Salas or Leodalis DeVries
or both. Yeah,
pass. And they're not willing to trade either one of them. And I don't think there's any package of minor leaguers below those guys that's going to get it done, considering the level of interest in Garrett Crochet.
Yeah.
Now, if Garrett Crochet does get traded, and Corbin Burns, I assume he's going to sign somewhere, linked to the Mets,
Giants, yep.
Probably the Dodgers. But those guys are going to, that's going to play out soon, Burns and Crochet. After that, I wonder how many phone calls A.J. Preller is going to take on Dylan Cease at that point.
So you're saying if you're going to move Cease, now would be the time to work the phones.
I would say I'd wait until after Burns and Crochet go.
Okay.
And knowing there's no one better you
left.
Can sign at that point.
Yeah. And this will only really cost you prospects.
And, you know, see what kind of interest you can get in Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
For a contender. Looking for, you know, it's a one-year rental at this point. That's
yep.
all you've got, but it's a very reasonable price tag. I'd imagine there's three or four teams that would get into some heavy bidding. Now, is it worth it for the Padres who also want to win?
Right.
Don't know.
Don't you look at that and God, it's a tough one. It's a tough one because it's just like Juan Soto. Remember, I mean, you sit in here and you go, how are we a better team by trading Juan Soto? It ended up, we were a better team than we were in 23 after trading Juan Soto. Then you look at Dylan Cease and you go, if we get rid of Dylan Cease, who, by the way, again, as I mentioned earlier, he's a Scott Boras guy. He's going to get his bag. You want to do it now, not the trade deadline. You know, if you're going to do it, you need to pull the trigger now. I personally wouldn't like it very much. I mean, I guess it all depends on the return. But unless the return is another guy that's just cheaper that can throw 180 innings well, you're playing for the future here a little bit. It does feel a little punty on this season, but you know it's not like that's the only move they can make, certainly. But it's a tough swallow for me. I realize that you probably need to do it because you're strapped financially.
I don't think that there should be any universe where the Padres have to trade Dylan Cease. Like, yeah, we don't love the offers. This is the best one. We have to do it. But I think you definitely listen, and if there's an offer that knocks your socks off, doesn't mean you can't then take, like they did last year with Drew Thorpe, and then take some of the what you acquire.
Flip that
for major league talent, yeah. A starting pitcher.
With more control.
This year with more control,
fair.
Maybe 2 or 3 years. You just keep that window extending.
If you
keep Dylan Cease, the window's definitely more open this year, but
yes.
Closes faster at the end of this year. Is there a way to jam open the window for a couple of more years by being smart with Dylan Cease this offseason?
You know, and at the end of the day, like the window talk, I get it. It's a nice little package to wrap it all in. I think when you have a team, and this is genuinely how I feel. This isn't the corporate mandate here. When you have a team with Manny, and Fernando and, you know, Luis Arraez, like, you can compete. You can win. Do you have enough arms to get you there? If you trade Dylan Cease, the answer is probably no. Doesn't mean the team's going to look the same at the deadline. You know what I mean? Like, can you patch it together for the first half, depending on the return, depending what you can flip guys for, while also keeping your prospects? Again, we said last year, AJ's going to have to get super creative. He's going to have to GM his ass off. Nothing's changed. He's got to GM his ass off this year. Because as far as this team got last year, and the support that it got from the city and the fan base, real hard to step back. Real hard. In fact, a bit malpracticey again, you know, like, to step back again. So creativity is what he's best at. We need to give him a chance to be creative. Now, if we get to spring training and Dylan Cease is gone and Randy Vasquez is your three and, you know, Johnny Brito is your four and Matt Waldron's your five, okay, let's panic a little bit.
I think as a reasonable fan, I can understand that you can't extend both Dylan Cease and Michael King.
Correct.
And Luis Arraez.
Correct.
So I'm acknowledging that I'm okay with you talking about either letting Dylan Cease go after this season.
Yes.
Or if you don't want to get nothing for him, then I will entertain trading now without coming down like a house of bricks on you.
Yes.
But I want to make sure that that means you're then out that money toward extending guys like Michael King and maybe Luis Arraez.
Yeah, and the thing is you can't.
So much so, I'd like them to announce it at the same time. We traded Dylan Cease and extended Michael King. It would be a good 2-for-1 announcement if you were going to do something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there are some fans who will go, yeah, Dylan Cease in the playoffs, I don't want to see that again.
Fair.
And, you know, the idea is to win in the playoffs. I don't think that way. I don't think just because Dylan Cease struggled in the playoffs doesn't mean he couldn't be a dominant force in October for you next year and lead you to a World Series title.
Yeah.
That's a real risk if you trade him. It's also been a very healthy pitcher who's probably due to have a not healthy season at some point, and you'd rather have it come with another franchise than yours. There's a lot of factors that go in to pitching when you are a front office and trying to make these decisions.
Yeah, he's up against it again. He's up against it again. Again, I said this probably a year ago today. I do not envy his position. I do not envy his position at all. I'm excited to see how it turns out, but I do not envy the position of A.J. Preller. And everyone in the chat's saying it's a punt season. I honestly, bro, thought last year was a punt season, and it ended up pretty well. I realize you're not going to catch all that lightning all in the same bottle again every time. But if they can add a starting pitcher or two somehow, and again, Roki solves a lot of this, but if you don't get him, that's when I'll start feeling a little bit despondent. You know, if he ends up going to L.A., you start to feel a little bit like, I mean, I'm going to watch. I'm going to be all in.
2026 is looking
better.
That's looking a little scarier for the Padres.
Oh, great.
And if you lose Cease and King and Arraez and you can't afford to sign those guys, what do you have left? But what if, you know, what if DeVries breaks through and Salas are both, you know, rookie of the year type candidates,
sure,
and still have Merrill and Tatis and Machado?
Yeah,
have a really good team.
I totally
going
neglected
forward.
To mention Jackson Merrill when I was, you know, Manny and Arraez. And I mean, Jackson Merrill is a stud. So,
hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Hi, Jackson. Need big things from you this year. No more pressure. It's going to be interesting and potentially terrifying to see how it all shakes out and what it looks like in spring training. You know, based on how things have gone so far.
All right, it is time to give away a pair of tickets. James Taylor and his all-star band coming to the Rady Shell at Jacobs Park on May 10th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at theshell.org, but you can win them now right here from 97.3 The Fan. Be the fourth caller at 833-288-0973.
Threw yourself off.
A lot of numbers.
James Taylor feels like a Ben show.
He does.
Big time.
Very easy listening. I'm actually not a huge James Taylor guy.
It surprises me to no end.
But I know people are.
He looks just like my dad.
He does, doesn't he?
Just like my dad. I've seen fire, I've seen rain. Yeah, I'm not a big fan, but I hope you have fun, whoever wins the tickets.
Call now, 833-288-0973. Back I know everyone was concerned. I did get my lab test results.
Oh, I can't wait to hear.
Just came in on the app. I can let you know how my blood work looks.
I want to see how that cholesterol looks. Yeah, buddy. Coming up next, Ben's blood test.
97.3 The Fan. Oh, yeah, I forgot we got a rival report still to get to, and not a lot of time left. So what questions do you have about my my blood panel?
Yeah, you did your blood work over the weekend.
Now, you're most interested in the lipids, right?
Yeah, I want to know all about your lipids. How did they turn up?
I'm in the green.
That's good, huh?
It's a good ad for SDFatLoss.com. Cholesterol, 135.
Is that good?
Between 100 and 199, they say, is normal range.
Okay, good.
Triglycerides, 77, 0 to 149, normal.
Okay.
HDL cholesterol, 42, above 39 is normal. And then non-HDL cholesterol, 93, 0 to 129, normal range.
Look at you.
How about me?
Congratulations.
How about me in the green?
I don't want to do this. Should have all done it together and done it as a bit and bet on who was going to be the highest. We really missed an opportunity.
We did.
Everything else good?
I believe so. I mean, I don't know what some of these things are. My MCV and my MCH and my MCHC and my RDW, my platelets all in the normal range. I know you were concerned, so.
Yeah, Rod wants to know what were your THC levels.
I think zero, actually.
Ganja, a.k.a. cannabis.
My bun is 14.
Your bun?
Which is, I do like buns.
Save that.
Oh, my goodness.
Save that.
Potassium is good, a little on the high range, but still in the green.
Too many bananas?
Perhaps. Calcium, right in the middle. Albumin, good. Globulin, good.
Just making up words.
Bilirubin, good.
Bilirubin? Yeah, love that guy.
That's the thing that makes the babies yellow when they're born, I think.
He's a double-A pitcher for the White Sox. Yeah, I think we're targeting Bilirubin, potentially.
I thought he used to do sports radio here. Scott and Billy Rubin.
Scott and Billy Rubin. That's right.
I think
that's
Billy Rubin Niebla is coming on later today.
It's true. Billy Rubin Niebla will be joining Gwen and Chris later on. Do we know? Do we have a
220,
time?
220, I think they said, yeah.
Ruby. So. Well, guys, if you're listening, tell Ruby we said hello, and we're so happy he's back.
Yeah. All right, let's check traffic.
Out in the hall.
Let's check traffic, and we'll let Pauly take over with the rental report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the rental report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you?
Fantastic.
All right, we will start off in the world of college football. We were kicking this around off the air this morning. Kirk Herbstreit, Mr. Ohio State.
Yes.
The guy now he is a very I think he's really good broadcaster.
I do too.
I've really come around over the last couple of years. I think seeing him on Thursday Night Football, I was a little unsure. He's the college guy, college game day. He's always on the number one college game of the week or whatever. And I was like, him and Al Michaels, now that's going to be interesting. He's done really well.
Yes, he's really good.
But that guy, Kirk Herbstreit, he bleeds Ohio State.
Crimson.
Played for Ohio State. I think he still lives in the Columbus area.
Wow.
He is Mr. Ohio State, and unfortunately, there's a little bit of maybe some drama in the Herbstreit household because his son, Chase Herbstreit, is a quarterback. He's in the class of 2025, and yesterday he made his big college commitment, but it was not to Ohio State. Matter of fact, it was to their biggest rival. Chase Herbstreit committed to Michigan yesterday. I don't know if he was even offered at Ohio State. I don't know if there were rules. How does that conversation go?
Doesn't it stand to reason, though? Is he a quarterback?
Yeah.
He is, okay. Well, they have their quarterback for a while. Wait, no, Michigan has their quarterback for a while. That Underwood guy.
Bryce Underwood,
That's making like $30 million to play quarterback. All right, so You got to, doesn't it stand to reason, if Michigan's going to offer you, Ohio State would offer you, could it have been, he just said, sorry, Dad, I'm going to Michigan. I want to do my own thing. I want to be my own man. I'm not going to follow in the footsteps of the Ohio State University.
I think as a dad, ultimately, you're incredibly proud that your son earned a college scholarship to a Big Ten school.
This is pretty interesting, though. People said in the chat, he moved to Nashville because Ohio State fans were harassing him and his family at home. Okay, so he's in Nashville now. Maybe he's actually happy that his son's going to Michigan.
It's I don't know. I see him doing his like flight trackers, and yeah. I feel like he always ends up back in Columbus when I see that.
Interesting.
That's fine. I thought so, too. I did not know that.
It is a... I mean, think about it. Bo Woods gets drafted by the Dodgers. Bro, I'd have the hat on immediately, right? I'd be the biggest Dodger fan there ever was if my son's playing there.
Getting drafted is different than choosing the team.
That's fair. Getting drafted, you have no choice.
Right.
Bo Woods commits to the University of Southern California. I mean, bro, fight on.
Yeah.
100%.
Right?
100%.
It's an easy one.
It's a no-brainer. You don't even think about it. You don't think twice, your kid. Putting my personal...
Even had you played at Notre Dame.
Of course.
Like, yeah,
it doesn't matter. You'd see me all the time. I'd be wearing the color you're wearing right
blood
now.
Blood is thicker than water.
Always.
Except my blood, which is not that thick anymore, fortunately.
You lost all the globulins in it, so your blood is very thin. It used to be very thick.
Thick, yes.
Marinara sauce is thick. Meat bolognese sauce. They couldn't even get it out of the needle. Right. Is this pork in here? What is this?
Real quick, Monday Night Football tonight, Bengals and Cowboys, 5:15 on ESPN. The Bengals are the favorites on the road. It's in Dallas, here in Dallas.
Here in Dallas.
4.5-point favorites, Bengals.
Any of the winter meeting folk are going to make their way out to Jerry World tonight?
How far is Jerry World from the Anatole?
Far. Far, far.
Arlington's like halfway between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Yeah. It's not an easy trip to get from where they are in Dallas out to Arlington. But I think if you're there and it's Monday Night Football, and you know they're probably throwing tickets around.
Yeah.
I don't get the Bengals. And Joe Burrow is a good quarterback.
He's
just can't seem to win games.
Can't win games.
Dallas seems like a complete mess.
I'm not. But I'm staying away.
I feel like they, at home, they're going to want to, I mean.
Who's their quarterback? Is it Cooper Rush still?
Yeah. Man. I was right with my Carolina Panthers pick.
I was going to commend you for that pick. What was my pick? Do you remember?
We almost won the game outright.
Oh,
you guys both
had
the...
We had the Thursday night game.
The Thursday night
game. Yeah, we both won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and then finally, this is a little sportsy, but also not sportsy. So I was watching Red Zone yesterday, and I was not paying too much attention to the Saints and Giants game. I don't think they showed this fan in the stands, but... You guys remember maybe a year ago-ish, the woman who flashed the portal that went across to, like, was it England or Ireland?
Yeah, it was like in New York, and it went, and you could see it all the way over. And
the magic portal.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It turns out she was an OnlyFans model. It was all a bit of a publicity stunt.
Fine by me.
Well, an unidentified member of the New York Football Giants apparently reached out to this woman. Her name is Ava Louise. She's an OnlyFans model.
Check her out for research.
Bro. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she posted a message exchanged between her and a member of the New York Giants. We don't know who. The football player messaged her and said, "Hey, sexy, got those two free tickets to the game. If you do me a solid and flash the Saints to distract them." Again, this is her bit. She's done this at several public events. She says, "Oh my God, what, for real? How?" He goes, "I play for the Giants. I got you." She said, "What number? So I make sure you get a good look." He says, "You'll be able to figure that out easily at the game. Can't have you put me on blast and me get fined, or knowing you, get me fired." She says, "Email me the tickets, avaLouiseBusiness@gmail.com. I'll see what I can do." And sure enough, if there is not a picture of her in the game, censored, of course.
Boobs for tickets.
This sounds like a plot point from, like, The Waterboy 2, where the quarterback gets distracted in a big moment by
breasts.
By the model splash. You see the game. Oh,
and then he gets completely drilled
because he was distracted on the field. My guess is Derek Carr was not
distracted.
In any imminent danger of being distracted by someone in the stands. Although he did break his hand, I heard. non-throwing hand.
Jeez.
I don't think she had anything to do with that.
I guess you... Have you made it when people are offering you freaks to see your boobs? Is that a definition of made it? Some would say, this is my life now, but I think you can look at it the glass half full and say, boy, I've made it.
Don't really know. No one's ever going to offer us anything to show any of our body parts.
I'll show it for free.
Just, no one wants to see it. They'll pay you not to show it.
Just showed it.
We now have to refund everybody.
All right, and even if she did put him on, like, would any of us
trouble for that?
Yeah, would any of us think like, oh, what a? I mean, I guess it's pretty creepy. Well, I mean, what did he say? Hey, sexy.
Yeah, hey, sexy.
Hey, sexy.
I guess public indecency is a crime, and if you're paying
there's nothing indecent about that.
If you're paying someone to commit a crime,
yeah.
Then you are essentially like a mob boss. So racketeering, maybe they can get him on.
Racketeering. They're building a RICO case against him right now? I don't think
We don't know which player it is, though.
Oh, racketeering. I just got that. You didn't do that on purpose, did you?
Racketeering.
Of course he did.
Man, that's good.
I've been thinking about it since I started that stuff.
That was really good. I didn't even catch it. That's so good.
Racketeering.
Racketeering.
We still don't know who the player was.
Yeah.
But so she went.
She was there.
Where are you off to? I got to go to the Saints game, show my cans.
Or did she make up this whole story to gain viral publicity, which is what OnlyFans account models are generally looking for in this case?
You saying they're not honest?
I'm not saying they're not honest. I'm saying they're clever.
Clever. Marketers. Good marketing. Yeah. Much better marketers than we are. I'll tell you that. We have stickers.
She's very smart. She seems very, very
smart. If she had just shown up at a game and flashed people.
Yeah.
That doesn't really, I mean.
She'd have to pay her way in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, maybe she did. But having this narrative with it all of a sudden makes it a story that we're talking about and making the rounds on the internet.
And now maybe a player from another team wants her to come and do that as well. Interesting story. I did see that pop up, and it was uncensored. But the one with the portal was not. That was not uncensored. That was on video, and I did catch that.
Same.
Was not mad at it. Not terribly.
We didn't... we got to most things that I wanted to get to today.
Yeah, we did.
It was a very
busy day. I vomited
twice. Busy show.
So that was good. On a Monday.
Seals lost.
They did. Lost by one.
That was unfortunate.
Yeah.
Soccer's lost, too.
Did they?
Yeah, they lost their season opener in Tacoma. They play their first game at Front Wave Arena this Saturday night. Seals are back home Friday night against the Colorado Mammoth.
Yep.
I'm assuming you will be there working.
It's emo night. Yes, I'll be in eyeliner.
Right.
First time wearing it.
Scotty Scheffler won again, ninth time
now,
this year.
What was that tournament?
It was Tigers tournament, Hero World Challenge in Bahamas, just 20 players. It's not a full field, but gets real money. And
that's good.
Gets he was unbeatable this year. What a great year for Scotty Scheffler. And, we didn't shout out to his family. We have time for one quick shout out to his family at the end of the show.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
Longtime Padres hitting coach from when I was growing up watching the team, Merv Rettenmund. Longtime San Diegan passed away over the weekend. Merv was a very universally well-liked person in Major League Baseball and San Diego sports circles, and he passed away. So
saw Tony Gwynn Jr. with a nice tribute.
Yep.
Said he learned a lot about hitting from Merv Rettenmund. So rest in peace, King.
There it is. So Roki Sasaki is posted. Let the chase begin. Juan Soto's chase is over, and we're only a few minutes into the winter meeting. Sammy Leavitt will check in again with Annie and Elston, who are coming up next here at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Until then, for Paul Reindl and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Monday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.